Well, hello, Changing Perspectives Nations. Welcome, Josh here with another Classic Perspectives Greatest Hits episode for you all. We have great option for you this time around. And before I get into that, let me just remind you of the fun you can find yourself involved in over on Patreon. Join us, if you'd like, over on patreon.com/the Changing Perspectives Podcast. We have three different monthly tier options. I'm just going to highlight the most popular one, which is our Inside Perspectives, which gets you early access to episodes, video recordings, in addition to the extra monthly Rambling Perspectives episode exclusive only to Inside Perspectives members for $7 a month. You can join us for that. It is August of 2023 now, and we are getting ready to finish out the month as we move our way into the fall. We will be recording and releasing that August Ramblings before you know it. But let's get to why you're listening to this episode to begin with. So I have chosen an option from August of 2019, 4 years ago. Yes, we've been doing this for over 4 years. This episode is a relationship episode entitled Your Last Argument. This was when Jenny and I took the Your Last Argument questionnaire from the Gottman Institute, the beloved Gottmans that we reference very, very often and use their resources on the show. This time around, we used a questionnaire as a tool to explore the feelings we had each experienced during our last disagreement prior to the recording of this episode. Talk about the factors that led us to approach the argument and those certain manners. We talked about deep-rooted issues behind the argument and the steps we can take to avoid such conflicts in the future. So this was a memorable episode, great activity exercise for a couple to go through, any couple. So please enjoy episode 36 from August 2019, Your Last Argument. And stay tuned for a brand new episode coming at you soon. All right, everybody, here you go. Hi, and welcome to the Changing Perspectives Podcast, the show where we discuss a variety of topics, including grief, parenting, health and wellness, and relationships. Join us and explore a number of changing perspectives. We're your hosts, Jenny and Josh Brennan. Well, good evening, Jenny.
Good evening.
Good evening. We're recording this at night. Hi, how are you doing?
Well, I'm just a hot mess over here.
You're just going to bump the mic continuously tonight?
You attached mic, it to a different place, so I'm struggling.
I wasn't sure if attaching it sort of farther away from my mic would lead to better audio, but I don't know.
This is riveting radio.
Isn't
so
it?
Far for folks, yeah. I'm sure.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. Happy August. It's August now. Our last episode was released in July, which was episode 35, and we hung out with an amazing blogger. Probably my favorite interview so far, Gila Pfeffer. How much fun did you have with Gila?
Fun. But I'm a little worried now. Like, is she more fun than me? I'm also a blogger.
Well,
and you interview me.
That's, no, I don't.
Kind
I co-host with you.
Okay.
That's different. You're just as fun. But I love the humor in her writing. She's very, very funny. Great sense of humor. And we will absolutely have Gila back on with us at some point. So if you haven't checked that episode out, guys, go check out episode 35, Parenting Perspectives, interview with Gila Pfeffer, the mom who knew too much. We'll go ahead and shout out her stuff. You can just Google that, themomwhoknewtoomuch.com and the mom who knew too much on Instagram. She also has a Facebook page, I think. So what else did I want to say? Oh, you're having a nice little adult beverage.
It's supposed to be a secret.
No,
it's
okay.
The end of my, well, actually, it's the start of our vacation.
Yes.
I'm terrified to go on vacation with you.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. I wanted to bring it up, but I wanted to start by saying
we have a bad vacation track record. Can we,
I know.
First, no, I'm going to go there first. No, okay, go ahead. But then
I just
want
to talk about your drink.
Okay.
So, what are you drinking?
A Cape line. This is what I drink when I'm not trying to be healthy.
For those that don't know what that is.
I'm back on the healthy wagon on Tuesday after vacation.
What is that?
If I survive vacation.
It's like a seltzer, like a White Claw type of thing.
Cape line, sparkling cocktails, hard strawberry lemonade. Yeah, it's sweeter and not as full of calories.
I'm drinking seltzer. Market Pantry purified water.
Is that on the recall list?
What?
Yeah, well, if you're pregnant or breastfeeding or maybe you're a child, there's a bunch of water that's been recalled because it has some stuff in it.
Like what?
I don't know. I forget what it is.
Well, now I'm you need to look it up. I can't deal with child, another issue. So. But anyway, so I haven't been able to drink all month since July 2nd, July 3rd. So I was bringing your drink in here to you. Oh, and did you want to keep hitting the microphone?
That wasn't me. That was Pixie.
Oh, Pixie. Oh, my goodness, man. Come on, dude. Get a cat, they said.
Nobody said that to us.
Are you getting sick of those on Facebook?
What?
Like those statuses where people are like, get a blah, 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 they said. Do this, they said.
No, and because friends of ours are posting them because they just got a puppy, and I feel it. I find it very endearing.
Oh, my bad. I just feel like I see that all the time, that people are using that. Anyway, I came in here to the studio. I brought you your drink, and this is going to sound really creepy, but I haven't had a chance to drink all month because of a medical issue that's going on that I'll talk about shortly. So I smelled your drink.
That makes me think you have an alcohol problem.
No. I was like, oh, maybe I'll have a drink this weekend, have a beer, and I smelled yours. What does this smell like? Totally did not like it. It smelled so sweet.
I know. It's crazy that I like it. I don't usually like sweet things, which is why I'm married to a jerk like you.
But, no, you married me because I'm sweet. No, I'm a sweet guy. So, no, listen. So it smelled to me, it reminded me of a Zima. And
I've never had a Zima.
Did you see that meme on Facebook where it was let's see who you really are, like this trope from the Scooby-Doo cartoon show at the end where they reveal the bad guy, they whip his mask off. Well, it was like a White Claw or something, and they ripped off the mask and it was a Zima.
I don't get it. Was Zima yucky? I don't understand.
Well, Zima, yeah.
Was that like the original kind of like?
Exactly. It was a malt beverage, not beer, not a wine cooler. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Zima became like Mike's Hard Lemonade, which basically became all these new ones that are pretty much the same thing. Anyway, I thought that meme was funny.
Okay, so before we launch into your story about your July. In our July. Pixie's purring. She's on my lap. It might come over
better,
here.
Better her on your lap than banging my mic stand.
I am afraid to go on vacation. We are supposed to leave tomorrow for a 3-night vacation, and our track record with vacations is not so good.
Nope.
Last vacation in July, we'll explain, but you were sick, and you've been sick ever since.
Yep.
Vacation before that. Do you remember what it was? We went to Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah.
In March. What happened then?
Wasn't that you?
No, I did not get sick. But like our youngest child's school got shut down because of this violent, awful bug. So we were away and our youngest got sick.
Like neurovirus type thing.
It was awful. Yeah. It sounded like.
They shut down the school.
It was like this awful thing. The time before that, do you remember what happened?
No.
Well, it wasn't a big deal, but we went to Mexico, you know, looking for some fun in the sun, and the sun never came
out. Oh, yeah.
It was not that big of a deal, but we spent...
It was a great... I loved that trip, though.
Decent... I like the sun, and I was cold. And then the vacation before that, I don't remember. What did we do before that? What did we do last year?
Mexico last year with the boys.
Oh, the time before that was Cooperstown, where I lived in a...
Yeah. Shack. A lean-to. Quite literally.
For 7 nights. With skunks.
Right.
And a crook, and no sink in the bathroom. So I now...
You're petrified.
I need some CBT. I need some cognitive behavioral therapy to change my automatic thoughts, because I'm starting to think Brennan vacation.
Cursed.
Something's going to happen.
A little cursed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic about this weekend. The last time we went to where we're going, it was great. No illnesses or anything.
I'm glad you said that, actually. Every time we've gone up to New Hampshire for a nice little weekend, it's fun. Nothing ever happens. Knock on wood.
Quite literally.
Knocking on wood. That's always a nice getaway.
Yeah,
that's
hopefully.
Actually where we got engaged.
It is where we got engaged.
It was the first place we used to do. No, we used to camp a lot.
Yeah, but like hotel stay.
Pixie.
Hotel stay was New Hampshire. First
breakfast
night. Yeah.
There. Okay. All right. Well, so listen, maybe I'm feeling a little more hopeful.
Yeah. But it has been a rough summer for me. I think people in a few different episodes that we've recorded throughout the month, I've mentioned I wasn't feeling well, under the weather, whatever. I almost don't remember a time where I felt normal.
July 2nd.
Yeah. But long story short, I finally found out why I'm sick. I've been sick with a GI issue, stomach issue since July 3rd. I got sick while we were away in Florida.
You are one of the proud, lucky winners of the Cyclospora outbreak that is currently hitting, I think, the Northeast.
Yes.
And probably it's spreading daily.
Yeah.
And
lucky me.
Lucky you. Congratulations. Usually there's what, like 12 cases in Massachusetts? And so far there's
like 18 to 25 or something at this time of year, every year. Now there's over 150.
You are one of the lucky 150. Yeah. Of course, first you went through two rounds of awful, nasty antibiotics before.
Test results took a long time to come back. And it's only treated with a specific drug that
which was not the ones that you had been on. So you have, I feel very badly for you.
Thank you.
And it's frustrating that it took so long to figure
it out. It really is. I mean, it's just been a long month and without any respite, really.
I do wish that you had told me that someone else at work had the same symptoms.
Yes. In retrospect, that would have
clicked for me that this is something. And yeah. I would have Googled outbreak and saw that there was a cyclospora outbreak. Yeah. And I would have had you call your doctor and ask for that specific test.
I mean, they ran it anyway.
Luckily,
but yes. Anyways. So we finally know what's going on with Josh. I'm on the right medication now for a few days. So,
and
you
found the magic of Zofran.
They gave me Zofran to help with the nausea. So that's really good. It's just been, I felt totally not like myself. We had your birthday party, which I didn't drink at all or couldn't really eat that much, and then we were, date nights and parties with our friends, and it's just I've been the guy in the corner eating the brat diet and drinking water.
Yeah, looking miserable.
Yeah, so.
So now you have answers.
I have answers. So everything is going to be fine.
And you've gotten to speak with the Department of Public Health.
Yeah, it's weird.
And learn all about CDC investigations.
So if anybody out there has had GI symptoms.
Don't get into details.
I'm not going to get details. It's a symptom. GI bug related symptoms for a month and you live in the Northeast and you don't know what's going on.
I would say don't wait a month. If you're not feeling better after 4 days, go to your doctor and be like, hey, listen.
So have you,
test me for all of this stuff
My
right
point was,
now.
If you've been sick like me and you haven't gotten tested, go get tested.
So that, I've been thinking about that this whole experience, because you've been having that and I've been having my own sort of health medical issues. We are using our medical insurance.
Yeah, we are.
Actually, we're just spending a lot of money because we have a deductible. So, yeah. It's made me think a lot this month about how easy it is for people to not advocate for themselves medically.
Yeah.
Because I think it would have been easy for you to have been like, I don't really know what's wrong. My doctors weren't sure. These antibiotics didn't work. And, kind of go on without answers. But it really took you, you had to keep calling the doctor. And at
daily.
One point you were like, why are my lab results not back? And then you showed up at the office and being like, my lab results still aren't back. It's been 15 days. it was like 17 days then.
Yeah, I finished the antibiotics. Nothing's better. Yeah, what's
but I think
going
it would have been really easy for people to have not done that. And we drop a lot of money each time you go to the doctor. And there are a lot of people that don't have that luxury and don't have the flexibility that we have with our schedule. And with my issues, I think it would be really easy to just be putting stuff off. And it's really kind of brought to light sort of the flaws with our medical system.
Yeah.
It's and when you have issues, how long it takes to get answers. Like your lab results took 14, 15, 16 days, 17 days?
No, longer than that.
To get back?
Yeah, 17 days.
17 days. Yeah. 17 days.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right.
At a time when there was an outbreak. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then the flip side is you don't want to be putting people on antibiotics prophylactically because then they build up resistance. So I don't know what the solution is, but I know it just sort of seems like things are broken. And during all that, you were waiting for a referral for a specialist for potentially a deviated septum.
Yeah.
And that was a process too for you.
Yeah, it was.
So it's just the medical, it made me think a lot about the medical system. So I owe you an apology because I thought that in Florida you were sick because you had hoppy beer. You have to ignore Pixie. When you give her attention, listen to me, look at me, Josh, look at me.
Yes, I'm looking at you.
She is like a toddler.
But she needs
trying
to walk away from the mic stand.
But she's not going to walk away from the mic stand when you are giving her attention. You ignore her, she'll climb up on someone's lap and she will settle.
All right, I'm
going to
trust you.
What's going on is, I think we took her blanket away, right? Is it no longer on the buffet? I think that's the case.
Maybe.
Yeah. So she can't settle.
She could
be
hungry.
This was not the topic of today's episode.
No, it wasn't. But thank you for listening. If you guys, if you fast forwarded through this, whatever. But I have mentioned on previous episodes that I've been sick and not feeling well. So, but now I have an answer. And I'm hoping to enjoy vacation in a couple days.
And you were exposed at work through something you all ordered out. So
yes.
No one else in the family was exposed.
No. And this isn't contagious either,
right,
by the way.
Right.
Friends are listening. If you interacted with me with a pet in the last month, it's not contagious.
However, I think they still don't know the source.
Oh, the source of the infection.
Yeah.
Infected food or whatever.
Yeah, I would make sure that you're being really caught. Go to your local farmers markets and just buy your fresh produce from there for right now. That's what I will say about that.
I think it's imported fresh produce.
From?
Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the...
They originally were thinking it was just basil, but there it seems like they're thinking it may be more.
Yeah, there's no definitive answer yet. So
all right.
But anyway, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for the all the support, all my friends out there who were saying, hope you feel better. What's going on? You know, so I think thank you for that. Thank you for your help. I went back this last time to get answers because you encouraged me to. So thank you.
You're welcome.
You as in Jenny.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. What are we doing today? Besides talking about our medical stuff.
And fighting with Pixie,
who I'm holding now.
She's going to scratch you in a minute.
Pixie, you cannot touch the microphone stand. It makes noise.
I could take a picture of this, but you make me shut my phone off, so I can't. We are returning to a relationship topic because I feel like it's been a while.
Love episode.
So went back into my... I have a big old file of Gottman questionnaires from the Gottman Institute and thought it was fitting to pull out one about arguments. So,
okay.
And I thought it was fitting because our last relationship episode, we kind of got into not an argument, but conflict.
It got real.
It was real.
Yeah. By the way,
bless
that,
you, Lola.
When that episode came out and I was listening to it, uh-huh. That was day one of my illness, and I remember feeling horrible listening to it. And so every time I think of the Island Survivor episode, I think about being sick.
Okay.
I need some CBT for that episode.
I just want to say, if you were sick on the island, wouldn't you have been glad to have been with the stuff I brought?
Like what?
Toilet paper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see? Gotta listen to your wife sometimes. Yeah. Anyways, this is a questionnaire. It's called Your Last Argument. And it asks couples to think about a recent argument and then answer questions individually about their feelings during the argument, stuff beforehand, and then talk about it and sort of unearth some potential problems that might be there and help both members of the couple take responsibility for their actions. I also thought it was appropriate because July was really tough for us.
Yeah.
We had lots of arguments to choose from for tonight, and we had one right before turning on the mics.
Yeah, we did. That was a little
about the mic
tiff.
Right. It's so okay, though. We decided to think about an argument we had. So it's probably 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Tonight. 2 weeks ago tomorrow.
2 weeks ago tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was. Anyways, we'll set the scene for that in a minute. Did you do your homework?
Did you fill out your form? I did it, yeah.
All right, so we've each filled out our form. We each sort of called our memories back to that moment. And so to fill you guys in, Josh was wonderful and threw me a birthday party, a 40th birthday party.
Big 4-0.
Even though he was very
40
sick.
And fabulous. That was the theme.
40 has not been fabulous, but the cake was fabulous.
Yeah.
And
your decorations were on point.
And it was a fabulous party. It was fabulous.
It was a lot of fun.
I don't
Despite the heat. Oh my God.
Oh, it was like the hottest day of the year.
It was crazy. if you guys are planning a outdoor party and there's a heat wave coming, spend $25-$30 on Amazon to buy misters, because that was a big hit. We had misters going.
I put it in the show links.
That made it a little easier to be outside.
I think it did help. Okay, so if you've listened, you know that I've got some social anxiety and I don't like being the center of attention. And so having someone throw a party for me is really, really outside of my comfort zone.
Which is why you needed to know about it, because a surprise would have been worse.
Yes, I couldn't have it be a surprise party, especially at my house.
Right.
And this was, you know, at our house. So leading up to it, I had a lot of anxiety. Well, I guess we can get into the reasons, because the reasons kind of come out when you're doing the questionnaire. But we had an argument the night before the party? It was sort of 2 nights before the party.
Yeah,
I came home from work on a Thursday, finished my classes, and realized that nothing inside the house was ready for a party.
Right.
The outside was in pretty good shape for a party.
I would say the outside was like 85% done.
And so it was looking like Josh was not going to be able to get it all done before the party. So I was going to have to be doing a lot of that work, you know, cleaning the house, preparing it for the party, which had been something he had said he wouldn't. He was going to take care of everything.
Yes.
And it became very apparent that he wasn't going to be able to take care of everything. And so we had an argument. In my opinion, which was factual. So I don't really remember the details of the argument. I just remember kind of how I felt.
You're right. Okay. That's accurate.
All right. Anything else about that?
The gist was basically you were expressing frustration or concern that the inside wasn't going to be ready for when the party started, because I put my focus on the outside stuff.
Yes. And then what gets pulled into this is what happens every time we host.
We host an outdoor, like a summer type party.
Any party, any event that you focus on the things that are important to you.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Our
Makes
priorities
sense.
Are different. And okay. So this is a fight that we've had multiple times.
Right.
Okay.
So anyway, good content for this Gottman exercise.
We'll see. What happens. I'm a little nervous. All right. So the first part, it asks you to identify
how I just want to say you can bring toilet paper.
This first part asks you to identify how you felt during the argument. And there are 16 adjectives, right?
Yeah.
And you have four choices. You either felt that way a great deal, definitely, a little, or not at all. Just ignore Pixie. So maybe I will run through mine and you can listen to mine and you can run through yours and I'll listen to yours. Or should we run through one at a time?
Let's do one at a time.
Okay.
I think that's better.
So during
Is that okay with you?
That's fine. So during this argument, I felt defensive. I wrote not at all.
Okay. So this is, did you go over the choices? I'm sorry. I was distracted by Pixie. So I went with definitely.
Huh. Okay. I felt hurt. Definitely.
I wrote not at all.
Interesting. It wasn't her. So we're not matching up on those ones. I felt angry. I wrote a great deal.
Okay. I wrote a little.
Okay. So really, so far, we're not. And Lola has entered the room.
And Lola has entered the room. Oh, my goodness.
Just ignore it all. This is our life. I felt sad. And I wrote, I didn't answer that one.
You didn't answer that one?
How did I feel? I felt sad a great deal.
A great deal. I wrote a little.
Okay.
But if I could choose to circle the space in between a little and not at all, that's where I would circle.
Okay. I felt misunderstood a great deal.
A little for me.
Criticized a little.
I wrote a great deal.
Yeah, I would. I was criticizing you.
Yeah.
I felt worried a great deal.
Not at all for me.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Yep. I felt righteously indignant. I wrote a little because I thought if I wrote not at all, that would make me seem righteously indignant.
I wrote not at all.
Okay.
I don't know.
So for number 9, I felt unappreciated a great deal.
So for unappreciated, I wrote a little.
Okay. Unattractive, yeah. I wrote not at all.
I don't know if I like this one very much. I wrote a little only because I don't think you like me very much when you're upset with me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think I'm attractive to you when I meet your needs and our priorities match, and you would have been happy with had I started inside or whatever.
Yeah, I think Lola's trying to get by you. We can talk about Lola on the podcast. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
You're not picking up on her nonverbal cues over there.
She can hang out right here until we take a break.
Okay, but she's not going to. I felt disgusted. Not at all.
I wrote not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I felt disapproving. Definitely. Although probably that should say a great deal. See, I told you she wasn't going to be happy. She wants you to move.
So you wrote what for that one? Disapproving?
I wrote definitely, but really it should be a great deal.
Okay. I wrote not at all.
Okay. I felt like leaving, and I wrote not at all.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't. I wrote that.
Well, I felt like I had to stay in clean. So.
Well, so did I, actually.
Okay. I felt like my opinion didn't matter. I wrote a great deal.
I wrote definitely.
Okay. Yeah. So far, none of your answers are surprising to me. Are any of mine surprising?
No.
Okay.
No.
I felt like I had no idea what I was feeling, and I wrote not at all.
That's correct. Me too. Yes. I mean, that's what I wrote.
And then finally, I felt lonely, and I wrote not at all.
I wrote not at all as well.
All right. So what are your takeaways after you kind of read, you're hearing how I felt during the argument, and you sort of read how you felt during the argument? What are your kind of main takeaways?
Well, I think it's totally not surprised about your answers. Doesn't sound like you're surprised by my answers. So I think that's maybe because we have had this discussion before, and this particular argument is not a new one. So I sort of understand where you're coming from. I think you understand a little bit where I'm coming from. We can talk more about that. But yeah, none of those were surprising to me. I also not really that invested in my side of the argument. Like, I'm not really passionate about it. So, like, for instance, I wasn't sad, really. I wasn't hurt. Righteously indignant or worried. Like, none of that was really something that I could say I felt.
Okay. All right.
How about you?
I'm not surprised. I mean, I think in an argument, and probably in many arguments with couples, you're coming at it feeling two different ways. You know, one partner feels one way, the other partner feels the other way, and you're just trying to make the other see your side. And so I'm not surprised that for so many of these, we were feeling kind of opposite.
Right.
So it's not surprising. And I think it's important to kind of hear. This is so far an important exercise to do.
Yeah.
To feel like, okay, I was feeling misunderstood a great deal, but I think you said you weren't. I wish I had marked down actually what you had said.
A little. I wrote a little.
It felt like for a lot of these, one of us was at one end and the other was at the other end.
Right. Yes, and that sounds about right too. And I prioritize my actions and things like these for different reasons, and I think you prioritize the actions you think we should do in preparation for an event or a party or something. Yeah, but I guess my point was the biggest things I felt were being defensive and being criticized.
Oh, that's a good point. The biggest things I felt were anger, being misunderstood, being worried, and feeling unappreciated. Oh, and like my opinion didn't matter.
Okay. All right. So that's a good summary about how our feelings were, what our feelings were during the argument. So should we take a break and leave room for a commercial and deal with some dog issues?
Yeah, she wants a place to sit on a couch.
Okay. All right. We will be right back with or without the dogs. We're not sure.
What's up, everybody? My name's Tim from the Shut Up and Dad podcast, and I hope you're enjoying this show. If you're looking for some laughs after you finish listening to this episode, come check out Shut Up and Dad. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and your favorite podcast platform by searching Shut Up and Dad, or simply head to our website, shutupanddad-podcast.com, where you can listen to episodes, read our blog, and find links to our show. That's shutupanddad-podcast.com.
Okay, we are back. All right, Jenny, so what is next on this Gottman survey exercise?
So after you and your partner go through and answer the questions about how you felt during, how each of you felt during the argument, then you talk about, or you, again, you're doing this independently. So you sort of miss the first part of this where individually we're answering this questionnaire and then coming together to talk about it. So the second part is what triggered these feelings? And so there are then 10 sort of statements that it asks you to read. You are a loud typer.
Joshua, I am?
Brennan. Yes. Oh, you were just like angrily typing on your keyboard over there.
Well, I had fat fingers and I put the thing went to sleep, but put the wrong password in. It was a mess.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. All right. So 10 statements, and you have to, same sort of rating scale. I felt these ways a great deal, definitely a little, or not at all. So we can kind of run through them the same way. So again, okay. This is about what triggered these feelings. I felt excluded, and I wrote not at all.
Okay. Yes, I wrote not at all.
Okay. I was not important to my partner. I wrote, can you guess?
A great deal.
Yes. Yeah. What did you write?
Not at all.
You didn't feel that way at all?
No.
Okay. I felt cold toward my partner. I wrote a great deal.
Really?
Yeah, I was really cold to you.
Oh.
When I get hurt, I get angry.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay. I wrote not at all.
I definitely felt rejected. And I wrote a little.
So did I.
Okay.
That was the first one we matched up on.
I was criticized. I wrote not at all, but I'm betting you wrote a great deal.
I wrote definitely.
Okay.
So what triggered these feelings of being defensive criticized?
That's right. It was what triggered these feelings.
I was criticized.
The feelings that I felt during definitely. The argument. Okay. I felt no affection toward my partner. I wrote not at all. That had like no bearing.
Yeah, same. Samesies.
I felt unattractive. I wrote not at all.
I wrote not at all.
My sense of dignity was being compromised. I wrote not at all.
Okay, good. I was a little worried. I also wrote not at all.
My partner was being domineering. I wrote not at all.
I wrote a great deal.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was going to say I wasn't surprised. No. If you were. I came in and I was being really bossy.
No, I don't think so. You were. I don't read that as bossy. I read that as you were upset and I wasn't doing something you needed, you felt was important. So okay. I wrote not at all.
And then finally, I couldn't persuade my partner at all. And I wrote definitely because I had been talking about this sort of leading up to the party about my expectations and sort of going into like, this happens all the time when we have people over. Yeah, so I was definitely feeling that way. So walking into the argument, I was feeling mostly that I was not important, that I was frustrated with you, so I was feeling really cold toward you.
Yep.
And I felt like you weren't listening to me, so I felt like I couldn't persuade you.
I wrote definitely for me on that one as well.
You couldn't persuade me.
Yeah, and like I don't think I did any good. That's usually the case for me when we have arguments. Like, I don't do a good job expressing my rationale behind decisions or feelings, just in general. I think that's come up before in some episodes.
So what were the biggest ones for you on that? Under what triggered these feelings? What ones sort of did you feel the most?
Criticized, and then I couldn't persuade my partner at all.
Okay.
Those two.
So we were both feeling like we couldn't persuade each other. And, you know, I think when you look at how we were feeling during the argument, both of us really were feeling our feelings. And we wanted the other to kind of understand what we were feeling. And we couldn't get the other one to understand what we were feeling. Like, my way is right, your way is wrong, I feel this way, you should get that. And, you know, you were on the other side sort of saying the same thing.
And I feel like
we both felt powerless, like we weren't being heard.
Yeah, but for me, I think I didn't even try
to do what?
Persuade. So like that one, when I wrote I couldn't persuade my partner at all, I don't think it was it wasn't for lack of trying. That wasn't the thing. It was like I didn't even try hard enough or effective enough or efficiently enough to persuade you.
So it
you
was
or,
for lack of trying.
Yeah, I guess it was for lack of trying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does that sort of make you feel like so far? Now that we've sort of like identified how we each were feeling during the argument and what triggered our own feelings, what's your sort of reaction so far to this exercise?
I like it. I think it really allows you to take a step back away from the content of the argument, because that's not the point. Like we're well past this argument. There's no current active disagreement or fight about the event or party. We don't have another one coming up. So we're out of it. And it's what we're discussing now and what the survey, this exercise is focusing on is not the actual content, right? But this is not about discussing like counterpoint. This is discussing the background feelings. And I like that. Like, I like sitting here with you, you know, talking about our feelings.
So I'm having the opposite reaction, and I am not enjoying this, and
why?
I'm not finding it helpful because it's bringing me back to there and bringing up the feelings again. And perhaps it's because we are sort of doing the same thing tomorrow.
What are we doing tomorrow?
We're leaving on vacation.
Oh.
And so a lot of the same stuff happened. So actually, probably should have thought about that when we picked this particular argument.
Okay.
Because I feel like the sort of topic is we are getting ready for something, for someone to come to our house. Either it's a house sitter, pet sitter, or we're hosting a party. So we have these things that have to get, we have the house has to get cleaned and tasks that have to get done.
Okay.
You know, in this instance, it's packing. That weekend, it was setting up for a party.
Right.
So I feel like this is taking me right back there, and it's making me anticipate, oh crap, we're going to have a fight. This is what we're going to fight about tonight or tomorrow morning. It's just not setting up for a party. It's preparing for, you know, the house sitter to come.
How about we don't do that?
Well, maybe this will help us to not do that.
Yeah.
I suppose that's the point, is what do you learn from doing this, and how can it change moving forward?
Right.
So let's see. I have low confidence right now that this is going to change anything. I'm just sitting with my feelings.
How's that glass half empty of Cape Line over there?
Well, it's like three quarters full because you won't let me drink on the mic.
You can drink on the mic.
No, then you criticize me.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Drink on the mic. It's fine. See, we don't hear anything, especially when I'm talking. So what is this next section, Jenny?
So the next section It actually refers you to another worksheet that I didn't do. It's a Who Am I worksheet. Totally useful, but really personal. And so we have not done that on the air. It asks you to figure out what was the argument rooted in. So not just what triggered your feelings, but kind of going back to sort of core beliefs. So kind of digging into like cognitive behavioral therapy stuff, that the sort of topics we talked about on the CBT episodes.
Yeah.
Figuring out what are your automatic thoughts? What are your core beliefs? Sort of where does this come from? A little bit Freudian. Freud liked to blame everything on your childhood.
Yeah.
So there are some questions in here. So I will read through the things.
Okay.
And then we can go back and talk about which ones, if any, you identified with. So this argument was rooted in, and then you're supposed to circle any of these that apply. The way I was treated in my family growing up, a previous relationship, past injuries, hard times, or traumas I've suffered, my basic fears and insecurities, things and events I have not yet resolved or put aside, unrealized hopes that I have, ways other people have treated me in the past, things I have always thought about myself, and old nightmares or catastrophes that I have worried about.
Catastrophes.
You remember catastrophizing?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. So what did you circle?
All right. So
Did you circle any of
them? I circled two.
I circled five.
Whoa.
Does that mean I'm winning?
Oh, my goodness. How long are we going to be? I think we're going to be here a while.
I'm going to make you guess which ones I circled.
Oh, geez. Well, then should you guess which ones I did?
Yeah, let me see.
I was definitely sure on one. Like one was my number one circle, and the second one was like a secondary, you know, sort of thing.
Huh. I couldn't even guess.
Okay.
So what are they?
All right,
so this makes me realize that I'm really curious to figure out. Like, it was easy for me to figure out which ones I'm sort of, you okay over there?
Yeah, there's a piece of hair in the microphone. Okay.
Really easy for me to kind of think about what the argument was rooted in for me, but I'm struggling to kind of guess from those what they'd be rooted in for you.
Well, number one, my number one circle is so the recent argument was rooted in my basic fears and insecurities.
Holy crap. About what?
Having a nice yard.
Oh boy. Well, where really?
So that's what it comes down to. So I put my focus on, this party was an outdoor party. So I put my focus on getting the outside really good. I spent the entire week and a half ahead of time, you know, weeding and mowing the lawn, doing lawn care, making things look nice, trim back and everything. Did a lot of trimming of big limbs and stuff from trees and bushes. We have three dogs, and so
we don't have to get into details.
Yeah. Well, you got to pick up the dog poop, so I had to.
They just said
whatever.
We don't have to get into details.
But yeah, I put a lot of focus in that and setting up lawn furniture and all that stuff. And for me, that's a reflection of my success as a guy, and a guy that has a nice backyard and a bar and a grill and all that stuff. And that's where my focus is. So my insecurities are, I've got, you know, our friends were coming, and my focus is my guy friends. And so they were going to see the backyard, and a lot of them have really nice backyard setups and similar setups. So I'm like comparing myself to those guys when they're coming back. I want them to enjoy themselves, sit back, relax, play cornhole and all that stuff.
So that kind of core belief that like, I'm not as good as others.
Or I want to be as good as others. I want to be in this group of my friends that have nice backyards that can, you know, that are, you know, they're the same.
So hearing that makes me feel really frustrated and hurt, because I have, you're like, what?
Now I'm righteously indignant.
Because
whatever that was,
I have been asking you. So listen, one of our vows when we got married was Jenny doesn't do the yard work because there are snakes
or
and
share
bugs.
Food.
I do share food.
I'm just kidding.
But that's sort of a division of labor. Like I don't do bugs and snakes And when you're weeding and doing the lawn, I know it's where you're going.
Yeah.
Okay, so where am I going?
You're going. I don't do it enough during the year, and I was scrambling because we had this party.
No, that's not where I was going.
Oh,
that you were so motivated to like impress others.
I see what you're saying.
That, you know, you pulled it together. You did it. I have been asking you to do that stuff, not to impress anybody, but because it makes me feel better when I'm sitting out in the yard.
Right, right.
And in fact, I posted a status about this on Instagram a few weeks ago.
So important to me as well, of course.
But it doesn't make me feel like it's important to you when the reason you did it wasn't for me. Wasn't because I like the yard to look that way. It was because you were impressing your guy friends.
No.
You just said it.
Yes, I did say that. But this is specific to my insecurities.
Okay.
Has nothing to do. So my love for you and the fact that I wanted to do this party and I felt like it was almost like I couldn't not do this for you. You're turning 40. I wanted to do this beautiful thing for you and have this fun time. And I wanted to, you know, make everything great for you and have a nice backyard and all that stuff. But specifically to this basic fear and insecurity, I have a basic fear to fit in and be amongst the guys that have a nice backyard set up for the summer, hanging out and stuff like that. That's only
right. That's why I'm talking about that. Basic fear is so strong that it got you to do the thing that I've been asking you to do all summer.
Right. I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah.
What was the second one?
But I really care about your ability to hang out there.
Okay.
Yes. Huge. My second one was past injuries, hard times, or traumas I've suffered.
Did you get traumas outside at a party?
No. So really why it's secondary and why I was like not really sure I wanted to circle that one. I just wrote like I circled it because of the past. Not injuries, not really hard times, but we haven't always had a nice backyard, right? Like this is our house we own. We bought this, our house. We worked hard.
I feel like this is our least nice backyard.
Oh, really?
In Colorado, we had like...
Colorado was...
Landscapers.
Yeah, but the backyard was like two feet wide.
I know.
Two,
but it was
2x2.
Beautiful green lawn and there was horses across the street.
Yeah, but there was nothing in the back. You couldn't hang out in the backyard. We'd have a patio, a bar, a grill, nothing like that.
True. But our other house...
But we rented all those.
Okay. All right. Yep.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So this is...
Right. So the only two backyards that we've ever owned, because we've only owned two homes, are this one and the tiny little plot of land in Colorado.
So,
which I actually would prefer the tiny little plot of land. I just want a lounge chair and a patio set. So that would be fine for me.
Right. So for me, though,
I see.
The recent argument was rooted in... thinking about where we came from, where we are now in our nice yard and, you know, what it looked like when we moved in.
That really does help me understand why it's so important to you.
Yeah.
And I guess probably why when I came home from work today, you were mowing the lawn and not cleaning the inside of the house.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is helpful for me to understand.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Ready for mine?
Yes. Oh, I was supposed to guess, right?
Yeah. Well... I told you five, so you had a 50-50 shot here.
Jeez. How about ways other people treated me in the past?
Yeah, I don't know what I was talking about there.
Okay. That's a total guess. I don't know.
I was talking about you.
Oh, okay.
I think in that.
Oh, because we fought about this before.
Yes. This has been an event that has occurred, I would say, frequently, when we're planning a party or planning to leave, that my expectation is the house is clean and orderly and sort of organized, and it's one of the last things on your list of priorities.
Right.
Even though you'll say to me, these are my list of priorities, the house is going to get clean first, then I think you have a little bit of ADD and you get sidetracked.
Undiagnosed.
And so that's what I was basing it on. Ways other people, meaning you. But maybe that wasn't what the question meant. So yes, that one.
I don't know about this one, but the way you were treated in your family growing up?
Yeah, we'll just go there.
Just do it.
Because cleanliness was really important. So yeah. My role in my family from a very young age was to clean. I had to clean. I cleaned the bathrooms and I folded and put away everyone's
laundry. We started
dating.
I helped you on the weekends.
That's right. That was like Saturday morning. I would get up and sort of scrub the toilet and clean the bathroom. And every day I would have to put away laundry.
That was my admission to hang out with you. My admission fee
was clean.
To help you
Thank
clean.
You for doing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I also did it at my grandmother's house, which she was on the Cape, and I often would spend weekends down there, and I would be the duster. I'd had a duster house every Saturday morning. And so I grew up cleaning as like, it's just something you do. Your house has to be clean. And my dad was always irritated by clutter, you know, piles of papers and stuff like that. And he would come home from work. And if there was clutter and papers and stuff, he would instantly kind of need it moved. And I am that.
Absolutely.
And we all know that. And I know I'm repeating those patterns and it kind of drives my kids crazy. And I get that. And so part of it is cleanliness was really important growing up. And,
right.
And presenting your house in a very clean way was really important. And so that's kind of deeply rooted for me. So you're right.
Okay. How about, did you choose your basic fears and insecurities?
I did.
Okay.
Basic fear and, you know, sort of core insecurity there that like, I'm not likable. I'm not good enough. No one likes me. I'm thinking, you know, leading up to this party, no one's even going to come. People don't like me enough to come.
Yeah, you said that a lot.
And then they're going to, it was a real fear I had. And, you know, something better will come along for other people. So they're saying they're coming, but then they won't show up or they'll come for 2 minutes and then leave. Those were my feelings, not true.
Yeah.
But then it would also be they would show up and they would see that like, oh, I'm a slob or I'm unclean or I don't have a nice enough house. So sort of same sort of insecurities you have about the yard.
Yes.
I
was just going to say
home.
That. Yeah.
I guess for the same reasons, because this is the first home that we've owned and we don't have
here where we've settled and we have friends and
the home we owned in Colorado was a townhome. This is the first like house.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an attached duplex.
And it's not a big house. It's not a fancy house. It's, you know, no one, I think, looks at our house and they're like, oh, my goodness, they have one of the nicest houses. And so I guess I feel pressure to make it look as nice as possible.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I guess we were having exactly the same feelings. Yours is just the outside is really important to you.
Yeah.
And the inside is really important. Well, both of it's important to me. But
right,
I'd rather,
right.
You know, you could finish setting up the yard, but you can't finish cleaning the house when people are here.
I feel the opposite. No, I agree
feel
with
like you.
You
can be cleaning
no, no, I shouldn't say that. I feel like you can't be doing either when people are here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So far,
how's your Zima?
It's a Cape Line, and now it's warm.
You got to drink it faster. I can't venture to guess. Maybe unrealized hopes.
Nope.
All right, I give up. What else do you have?
Things I have always thought about myself. Which really
Didn't
are the
I
same as my
that?
Basic fears and insecurities.
Oh, I thought I already said that, but never mind.
And then old nightmares or catastrophes I have worried about.
What? What old nightmares?
About my house being unclean. I don't really know. Maybe,
okay.
maybe I
Do you have nightmares about dirtiness?
I have nightmares about not being good enough and being judged.
Mm. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Okay.
So it's all sort of tied in together.
Yeah. So we can see that why we sort of got heated was rooted in something deeper than the party.
Right. Exactly. So we talked about how each of us were feeling, and what triggered those feelings and maybe what was really rooted in those things.
Yes. Okay. So now
cool.
The next step is,
this is a good exercise.
I'm going to read
it. I like it.
Hopefully, an honest look at these questions help you to realize that your perspective on an argument may be different from that of your partner. And I think we're seeing that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Through this. It is natural to make the fundamental error of believing that the fight is your partner's fault. To break that pattern, you both need to admit some role, however slight at first, in creating the conflict. circle the following statements that apply and the degree to which the statement does. So there's 10 statements, and you have to say that it is, yes, definitely true for you, or maybe a little, or not at all. So if any of these did apply. And the reason here is to kind of figure out what I don't want to say blame, but I'm going to say blame. Like, what blame should lie on your shoulders?
Okay.
Should rest on your shoulders.
Yeah, that, I get it.
It takes two people to fight. And so in every argument, really, two people are wrong. Maybe one's more wrong than the other, but you're both wrong. And so this is supposed to help you figure out a little bit more about where you can take responsibility.
Okay.
All right. So I have been very stressed and irritable lately. Yes, definitely. Maybe a little, or you can say not at all. What did you say?
Yes, definitely.
Right. Me too. Yeah. You were in the midst of your illness. You did not have answers at that point. Were you on the middle of your course of antibiotics, or had you not started them yet?
I hadn't started them yet.
Okay.
I started them 2 days after that.
Right.
Right.
That's right. You also got concerning lab work back in that,
yes,
which turns out is a result of the cyclospora.
Yeah.
The doctor made you think that, like, you could have a tumor or something. So you were you were really stressed and worried and irritable.
Right.
Like, you really weren't feeling well. I also wrote that I had been really stressed and irritable lately.
Yeah,
so we
absolutely.
Both were feeling stressed and irritable. We both were. I was worried about you. You were not able to really kind of be present, like, emotionally for any of us. Like, it took all your energy to kind of work and get some stuff done.
Prepare for a party.
Yeah, which you didn't want to cancel. No. I wanted to cancel. I tried really hard to cancel it.
But you had fun.
But I had fun, and I'm glad it didn't get canceled, and I appreciate that you put the effort in. But we both were coming to it very stressed and very irritable. Well,
wow.
Look, you did that. It wasn't even me.
Wait. Was that me?
That was you.
Yeah, that was totally me. My bad. What's next?
I have not expressed much appreciation toward my partner lately. And I said, yes, definitely.
I said, yes, definitely, as well.
I feel like we both were probably really stressed in July.
Yeah.
And we both turned inward. Not inward towards the relationship, inward towards
ourselves.
So out of the relationship, away from the relationship and into ourselves. And so we weren't really showing appreciation towards each other. Number three, I have been overly sensitive lately.
Would
you write? Yes, definitely. I was also on a brand new medication.
Yeah.
A hormone to see if it would help another issue I'm having. It didn't. It made me really crazy.
So
I'm opting for surgery instead.
We both had a drug with crazy side effects.
Not in
throughout
that moment.
July.
You weren't on yours yet.
No, right after that. I experienced the same thing.
Yeah,
so.
It was a birth control supposed to. I've got a big cyst that has to come out on my ovary, and it's so
leaning right into it, huh, Jenny?
Probably means that I have endometriosis, and so the doctor said, "Let's try this birth control pill to see if that will control the pain for you."
Yeah.
And it did, but oh my gosh, it came with. So I was sobbing every day.
Side effects were nuts.
I felt rageful, and so I said I would rather be in physical pain than feeling this way. But I hadn't made that decision yet. I was in the middle of the sort of month of those meds when I came into that. So I was feeling overly sensitive for sure.
Yeah, I wrote maybe a little on that one for me.
Okay.
And that's just because of what I was dealing with.
Yeah. I've been overly critical lately. And I said, yes, definitely. Sort of same reasons.
I wrote nothing. I didn't select anything for that one.
Okay. I have not shared very much of my inner world. I said maybe a little, but I think not really. I feel like I've been oversharing a lot.
Oh. I wrote yes, definitely.
That you had not been sharing?
Yeah, because I wasn't.
You were just shutting down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shutting down because of being sick, but then also, like we talked about earlier, I didn't really share with you my rationale behind my priorities.
Yeah.
You know?
I've been depressed lately. I wrote yes, definitely. The medication definitely made me depressed. Yeah,
for sure.
A good reminder for me as a clinician that medications really can make someone, can sort of push someone into a depressive state. And I was also worried about you and frustrated that, like, I didn't have a husband, really. You weren't really there.
Right. I wrote maybe a little, in retrospect, maybe I could have circled. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, you were really sad and frustrated that you were sick.
I really was. Yeah.
I would say that I have a chip on my shoulder. I said maybe a little.
I didn't circle anything for that one.
Yeah. I don't, I think
I don't have a chip.
When I read it, I thought I had to choose between the two of them. What's that? Didn't realize I, Jim, a chip person. I didn't realize that I could have skipped it. So I would have skipped it.
The next one is, I have not been very affectionate. What'd you write?
Yes, definitely.
I wrote maybe a little, but what? Maybe I could be, yes, definitely.
You were like a roommate, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like retracted into myself.
You didn't. Yeah. You didn't, not even like verbally.
Well, both even personally and professionally. Like I was...
Yeah, I feel so sorry for people that were working with you then. But same for me. Well, I don't think I didn't sob with my patients, so they didn't know. But everyone else around me knew. I have not been a very good listener lately. I wrote, yes, definitely.
Me too. It's
really hard for me. So it was, and then I've been feeling a bit like a martyr. I wrote, yes, definitely.
I didn't circle anything for that one.
So we both were coming to that day. That, you know, setting up for the party that whole week with very low ability to sort of give anything to each other.
Yeah.
And so it's no surprise that we fought. We, you know, we were both feeling sensitive. We were both feeling stressed. We were both feeling a lot of weight on the importance of the party.
Right.
And so I think it's clear to see how we both are at fault there. And I think I would say probably equally.
Yeah, I mean, so do we want to talk about what the next question is?
Yeah, but I didn't fill it out. I was going to talk about it.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
Overall, my contribution to this mess was, well, that was kind of what I was just saying. So then there's two questions. Overall, my contribution to this mess was, and then how can I make this better in the future?
Right. So
what did you write?
For my overall contribution, I actually wrote 75 to 80%. And I did that because this is not a new argument. Like I should have predicted what your concerns are going to be leading up to that Thursday or whatever, a couple days before the party. So I wrote 75 to 80%. But I mean, now that we just went through all those section three, maybe it was closer to half. But
no, let's keep it 75.
Okay. that means you win.
I win. You're at fault. But I guess my contribution to this mess was that I was looking to you to support me and you didn't have the capability to do that. You were sick. You didn't know why. And you were nervous because you didn't know why you were sick. And your energy was down, and
which is a side effect of Cyclospora,
right?
Fatigue,
right? And you are mess blind. You know, you and I walk into a room, and you don't see the stacks of papers. You don't see that, you know, there's dust on the counter.
Oh, I see them. I just can live with it.
Oh,
yeah.
It's easier for me if I just see. You don't see.
Some of the stuff I don't see.
So my contribution was, I guess I didn't change my expectations.
So I looked at that question like as a percentage. I didn't think about.
Oh.
Yeah. So I literally wrote specifics. 75 to 80%. Oh. But my contribution was, you know, dismissing your priorities and like not using past experiences to inform this experience.
I think my contribution also was that I walked in the door and went from 0 to 1,000 really quickly.
Which can be the reasons behind that, but can be attributed to everything we just talked about.
Well, yeah, like and especially the medication I was on.
Right.
Two. All right. So how can I make this better in the future? This is where I'm stuck. Do you have any ideas?
I wrote something.
Okay. What did you write?
So I wrote, Have a discussion ahead of time about what the plan is and collaborate on the priorities.
So I feel like we did that. This is why I'm stuck. I feel like that whole week, like you had a list and I feel like we were talking about it.
I had a queue. I had a daily list of what to do.
And I feel like I told you on multiple occasions that my priority was the inside of the house, that get done. And I feel like sometimes you underestimate how long it's going to take you to do something.
That's definitely true. That's something I need to work on for sure. I miss, I'm not great at time management.
I don't know that it's time management. I think it's just you're like an optimist. So you're like, it'll only take me 5 minutes to do that.
That's time management. And then I think. But because
you don't leave room for, I feel like something came up too. Then I don't remember a dog thing or something. I feel like something else came up that we weren't anticipating. Had to then fit in. I guess it is time management.
Part of time management is knowing how long something is going to take so you can effectively plan and manage your time. So
and give yourself a buffer, right?
Right. Okay. But I will
it was
go
work stuff. Oh, I think it was actually going to doctor's appointments too.
Yeah. The thing that came to mind about you're saying that the priority for you is the inside of the house, not the outside. But your solution being you can just set up stuff when people are here is not going to work for me.
Yeah, I get that now. Because that's going to go to the core value that you have or that sort of core fear that like, oh, look, Josh can't even set up his own backyard.
So knowing that your solution even won't work for me, we need to figure out a way that I can meet your needs and meet my needs.
Right.
That's what I meant about the collaboration piece.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So how can we apply this to our potential next argument, which would be getting ourselves ready for New Hampshire?
We are going to say goodbye to everybody, hit the stop button, and go pack and clean.
Okay. Are we having a conversation about expectations?
Yeah. Well, what are your expectations?
What do you think my expectations are?
Your expectations are we leave tomorrow with the entire house clean, all laundry done, dogs all set to be taken care of, all trash emptied. Did I pretty much cover it?
Yes. Do you know what time I expect us to leave tomorrow?
Actually, don't. We haven't talked about it.
Yeah. Jacob has joined us. He sort of flitted into the room and was listening. Jacob, what do you think my expectations are for tomorrow?
Jacob's very far away from the microphone. You want to talk, you have to come over here.
He did keep Pixie preoccupied.
He was occupying Pixie.
What's the question?
What do you think my expectations are for when we leave tomorrow? What time do you think I want to leave tomorrow?
Like 8-something?
Yeah, I want to leave as soon as we wake up.
Okay.
So my expectation, and this is not fair because what is it, like 9 o'clock right now at night?
Yep.
And my expectation in my head is that we're packing tonight and going to bed and getting up early and getting in the car.
Okay.
That's probably not your expectation. And so here is my contribution to why we're sort of in this pickle, because I didn't share my expectation with you at all during the week. I didn't look ahead. I've been just sort of like one day at a time. And now we're at a place where, you know, I know my expectations, but you don't know my expectations.
Yeah.
And I don't really know your expectations. What were you thinking?
I soon as we're ready, I guess. Yeah. I didn't have a time, but as soon as we're ready.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think our priorities are jiving, right?
Well, we'll see. I mean, now we'll see if we can kind of keep all this stuff in mind.
Yes.
If it will prevent a fight. Jacob, don't you think that every time we're having a big party or we're leaving on vacation, Dad and I fight at some point about getting stuff ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to see, does this make us not fight?
Well, only time will tell.
I guess we'll find out.
Okay.
We'll let you know on social media at some point.
Yes.
Whether or not this worked. And I would say this probably is worth doing.
Absolutely. With someone.
You know, we could have just gone out to dinner and talked about our argument and we would have been done 55 minutes ago, but this really forced us to kind of go much, much deeper and kind of forced us to stay on topic and sort of stay in it. And so I guess I'm leaving with a better understanding of kind of your sort of deep-rooted feelings that contributed to that.
Yeah, and me for sure. I mean, I wasn't surprised by what was rooted for you. But I think it's an important exercise. And, you know, people get caught up in the details of a fight, I feel like. And they focus on those little elements, and it's point counterpoint, and that's where things snowball and get blown way out of proportion, because you're not focusing on the why behind the what.
Right.
You're not focusing on why is that important to me, or why are you saying that. It's and dismissing what you're saying, or saying no, that's not what I said. Well, it's not really important, you know, and it is all relative. And that's something to keep in mind, I feel like, too. You know, you and I have been together a long time. We have had many arguments throughout the years. And I think that we've developed some really good ways to handle it, and maybe some not good ways that we are working on. But I think it's an organic thing that keeps developing, and you learn as a couple, you learn together. But it's okay, and you should talk about the fight like this, like we are talking about afterwards.
Yes, but far enough removed from it that you're not emotional about it.
Right,
because we have had some arguments since then, but we decided that we're not ready to kind of do this.
No, and I
for
think,
those arguments on air.
I think the argument we're talking about fit nicely into this survey.
Yeah, I guess I would say, if someone's going to do this survey in their own relationship, I would say start with a smaller fight.
Yeah.
Not like the biggest fight you've ever had, because even a smaller fight is going to have some stuff to unpack, some real kind of emotional stuff to unpack.
Right.
So I guess I would say give it a try.
Yeah.
It's not as like light and airy and fun as the other ones, but I still think it's useful.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That is the case with all the Gottman stuff.
But I feel like out of all the Gottman things we've done, this is the one that sort of felt the heaviest for me.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, Jacob has the hiccups.
Jacob has the giggles. But yeah, I would recommend doing this one. It's called Your Last Argument. You can find it in the 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work, a practical guide from the country's foremost relationship expert. Published by John Gottman and Nan Silver. You can find that online on Amazon, all that stuff. So anything else for us today, Jenny? Thanks for going through this.
That was it. Thank you.
Awesome.
Let's go back.
All right, everybody. That is going to do it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can learn more on this topic by checking out the Gottman Institute online. Just put those words into Google in your favorite search engine. Please follow us on Facebook, everybody, at Changing Perspectives Podcast, and on Instagram at Changing Perspectives Blog. You can check out our website by going to changingperspectivesblog.com, or send us an email to changingpodcast@gmail.com. Go ahead and subscribe to the show so you'll never miss an episode, and we will see you next time. Say bye, Jenny.
Bye, Jenny.